This morning, let's take our Bible and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we'll look at the first 8 verses of the chapter this morning. It's probably a familiar passage to some this morning. I know it's not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture dealing with the Lord and fruit bearing and bearing fruit as believers. And so we look at that this morning in our message. A few weeks ago, we spoke about having a great purpose in life, how Jesus said to the disciples that those who believed him and followed him would do what he had done and greater things. We mentioned that there were some miraculous things that took place in the first early times of the church, and how the disciples and some others were able to do miracles and so on. But we said that also, thinking about that, what could be greater than what Jesus did? I mean, they didn't do any miracles that were greater than what Jesus did. They did some things that were equal to, I would say, in miraculousness as far as raising the dead and different things like that. And we mentioned that we believe the Bible is complete now, and we don't have those gifts the same today. But we said that there's still things that we can do as believers that will be a greater thing even than Jesus accomplished in some senses of that. And we talked about how that would be impacted by our giving out the gospel. What could be greater than a person going from darkness to light, from being lost to being saved, to going from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven? And we said we can have a part in that, and Jesus knew that when he spoke those words. And I believe that most people, when we think about that, want to know that they're having a positive impact in life. I don't think many people come and say, I want to make this world worse than it was before I came in. And most people would say, I want to leave the world a better place than it was before I came on the scene. For the Christian, that desire should be even stronger. And I know that there's good things that are done by people who say, I want the world to be a better place, and we want to work on cleaning things up and all kinds of different things. And those are good. But for the Christian, that desire should be a stronger desire. We should want others to see evidence of God's work in our life. Jesus said that men should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We should want to bring others to the Savior so that their lives can be changed. We should want to be fruitful for the Lord. And really, that's what our text is about this morning. As Jesus and his disciples left the upper room, as we would understand it to be, in at the end of chapter 14, Jesus had said that he was going. In verse 31, it says, the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And then those last few words, arise, let us go hence. And so it's believed that this is when the disciples and Jesus left the upper room, and they went out. They went to where Judas knew he would find them, in the garden, and so on. And we know the events that we'll be looking at over the next few weeks as to what took place there. But as they left the upper room and headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's no doubt that they passed some vineyards along the way, because vineyards were a popular thing in Israel, and I'm sure still are today, along with olive trees and things like that. There were vineyards where there was lots of grapes and grapevines and so on. As he often did, Jesus took the opportunity then to talk to the disciples about those vines and apply it to them, apply it to himself, and bring about that parable, as it were, that we'll look at here in John chapter 15. His message was about fruitfulness. It was about being attached to, abiding in, and abounding in fruit and abounding in the Lord. And that's the message title this morning, Attached, Abiding, and Abounding. Chapter 15, John verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful this morning that we can meet together on this beautiful day. We are thankful for our country, which is a free place where we may meet together and hear the Word of God, to hold in our hands a copy of the Bible. Lord, it's such a blessing. It's something we take for granted so often, but we're thankful for it this morning. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to know you, to abide in you, and to produce fruit that would glorify your name. And we pray this morning that this message would help us to realize how those things can take place in our life. And may we be more determined when we leave here this morning to indeed be fruitful Christians. And if there be anyone this morning that's here that's not a believer in Jesus Christ yet, not attached yet to the vine, I pray that this morning would be the morning when they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Lord, that they would know that a home in heaven is established for them and that they will have the presence of God in their lives every day between now and then. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us would have open hearts and open minds and would allow you to speak to us through your word. For we pray it in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to think this morning, first of all, about being attached to the vine. Being attached to the vine in the first three verses of the chapter this morning. Before we can expect to abound in life, we must be attached to the vine. We must have life. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine. Speaking of himself, one of the great I am statements, he had said in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know in chapter 8, he said, I am that I am. Jesus is the I am, the ever-present one. And here he says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the source of life. And as we look at it this morning, in particular in this chapter, he is the source of spiritual life. Several times in John, Jesus is called life or the giver of it. We've mentioned that before in John 1 verse 4. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In John chapter 6 verse 33 and other verses in the chapter also, he speaks of being the bread of life. He is the one who, he said, if you partake of me, you will have life, because he is the bread of life. In John chapter 10, he has said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. There's no question about it. Jesus is life and he is the life giver. In John chapter 10 verse 28, he said, I give unto them, those who follow me, those who believe in me, eternal life, and they shall never perish. And as we mentioned already, he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no life outside of God. God is the creator of life, and no spiritual life comes outside of knowing Jesus Christ, because he is life. Sin brought death. Remember when God made Adam and Eve, he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He created Eve from the rib of Adam, and Eve was given life by God. But God had told Adam in chapter 2, verse 17 of Genesis, that in the day they disobeyed and ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in the day that they ate thereof, they would surely die. Now, physically, they didn't die that day, although the dying process began. But spiritually, they died. There was a separation between man and God. Previously, man had walked with God in the cool of the day. That night, what happened? When God came saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam was hidden away. See, that death, that separation had come. So sin brought death into the world. And that death, ultimately, we read in the genealogies of Genesis chapter 5, that Adam lived, he had children, and he died. Adam's sons had children, they lived, and then they died. And all the generations following, and it says they lived so many years, they had this child, and then they died after so many years after that. Death came because of the sin of man, but Jesus Christ came to bring life to fallen man, to restore man to life, to give the opportunity of a restored relationship and spiritual life. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. Many people are looking for purpose and the meaning to life. I say to you this morning, based on this scripture that we read and many others that we've referred to and many others that we haven't this morning, that without Jesus Christ, you will not find that purpose for life and for living. He is life. Jesus Christ, he says here, I am the true vine, My father is a husbandman. Real life comes through him alone. The greatest impact you can have in this world comes as you are attached to Jesus Christ, that you receive his life. If a tree is not attached to the roots, it will not live very long, as we will see later on in the message. When somebody comes and chops down a tree and it just lays down on the ground, the tree is there with the root system is all there, and this over here and the tree is over there, what's going to happen to that tree? It's going to die because it's no longer attached to life. You can plant a log in the ground and it won't grow because it needs the life that came from the roots. Jesus Christ is the true vine. We need to be connected to him in order to have life. But Jesus goes on to say that my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman means the vine dresser, the farmer, the one who tends to the grapevine, the one who looks after the vineyard is the husbandman. Now, I'm a man and I'm a husband, but I am no husbandman as far as planting goes. I don't have green thumbs. I said that before. My things that I plant don't tend to thrive very well. So the husbandman here is speaking of the one who would look after and tend to the vine. You know, the job of one who tends to plants is not necessarily easy. Sometimes you think, well, you just plant the seed, you water it a little bit, you go on your way, and then boom, there's a crop there and everything's good. But such is not the case. The job of the farmer, the husbandman, the vine dresser, the gardener, is to know the plant and what it needs to grow and how best to keep it in shape. Sometimes we go and we go to buy plants at the beginning of the year, annuals, and we go and we say, well, we're going to plant them at the front of the house or the back of the house. There's this much sun or there's not very much sun. And so, you know, I have to look and those little plastic things that stick in the soil and I go, well, this one says it will be good in sun or shade. Good, we'll get that one. Because then I don't need to think about where it can go and where it can't. But somebody knew that and somebody put that in there, that this one only can take so much sun. This one likes the shade. This one likes direct sun. This one likes partial sun. Somebody knows that and they grow them and they say to the people like me, this is what you need to know about this. There's weeding and pruning and trimming that comes later with plants, and especially those that would, as we think about vines, to produce grapes and trees that produce fruit and so on. You know, I tend to trim things when I have time and not when it's time. I've been told several times you don't trim anything when it's blooming. So I've learned that one. You don't trim it when it's blooming. But still, if I have time when it's blooming and I don't think I'll have time when it's not, I may be tempted to get the hedge trimmers or the saw or whatever and say, it's got to be done, so I've got to get it done. But I don't have the knowledge that others have to do things. If you trim things when it's not the time, it can be detrimental, which again I've learned over the years. As vineyards and orchards and gardens left to themselves attest, without proper care, they get overgrown and they don't produce the fruit that they're supposed to produce. When we first moved to Canada, we lived in Grimsby, and in Grimsby there's many peach trees and cherry trees and those kind of apple trees and so on. And I remember just down the street from our house, just a few doors down, there was an orchard. And I remember looking at that orchard. Well, it wasn't one that was tended to as closely as others were tended to. But, you know, you just drive down the road and you could see the ones that were cared for. They were the ones that produced a lot of fruit. The ones who the farmer was knowledgeable, they were the ones that had the proper care and they produced the fruit that they should. When a tree just gets left to itself and gets overgrown, it doesn't produce like it's supposed to anymore. And so the Bible says here, Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine, the life, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father knows what he is doing. And think about God today. Think about God who made the world. Think about God who created life. And think about God who created the trees and the vines and the plants, all those things. You realize that today God knows what he's doing. When Jesus says, my Father is the husbandman, we realize that God has great experience in growing things. And he gave Adam the knowledge somehow to know how to dress and keep the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that God created the world with all its fruit trees and herbs and vegetables and all those things. The Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 5, God refers to that, how God planted Israel as a nation, and he refers to them as a vineyard. And God said to Israel at that time, he said, I've done everything that a good husbandman, a good vine dresser, a good farmer could do for a plant for you, Israel. I took out all the stones so that you could grow down and deep. I tended to you. I looked after you. I gave you everything that you needed to produce fruit. But God said, I'd say to Israel, but you didn't produce the fruit that you should have done. He gave them every opportunity to do as they should have been. And it says here that as the husbandman, God cares for the vine and its branches. In verse 2, it says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He knows which branches need to be cut out and which branches need to be trimmed. Though pruning can be painful, his objective is the good of the plant and the harvest. And he knows what he's doing. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. But Jesus also speaks of branches. This brings us into the equation, doesn't it? Because we're not the vine and we're not the husbandman. So who are we? We're the branches. He speaks to the disciples as being the branches which grow out from the vine. He says to them, now are ye clean, in verse 3, through the word which I have spoken unto you. They had been cleansed and grafted, as it were, attached to the vine, Jesus Christ. Remember how Jesus had told Peter just a couple chapters before this that he wasn't washed, he would have no part with Jesus. So we understand that to be attached to the true vine, attached to Jesus Christ, we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed from our sin. We need to be made alive by being attached to Jesus Christ, by believing upon him. You can't just join yourself to Jesus Christ. You must be cleansed. Some people think, well, I'll just become a Christian by doing all these good things. But that's not how we become a Christian. That's not how we can become connected to Christ. We are cleansed through the word of God. The word of God brings faith. Jesus says here, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The disciples had heard what Jesus said. They had believed in who he was, and they had become believers in Jesus Christ. They had been cleansed, and they had been attached to the vine. So many people think they're a part of Jesus' vine simply because they were born into a certain family, or because they attend a certain church, or because they have done some particular things. But Galatians 3:26 tells us that we are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, believing in Jesus Christ, is the means by which we are attached to the vine, where we will receive the life from him, life which springs up to eternal life. I ask you this morning, are you attached to the vine? That's where it begins. You will not abound with fruit unless you're attached to the vine. If you will be attached to the vine, you'll have life from him and be tended to by the Father. But Jesus goes on to speak now of being abiding in him, abiding in the vine. We're attached to the vine. Now, what about being abiding in the vine? The word abide means to stay in a given place, state, relations, or expectancy. To abide, to continue, to dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, or tarry for. It means to stay there. Jesus said to them, abide in me. And I in you. Webster's dictionary says that to abide means to be or exist, to continue, to dwell, rest, stand firm, or be stationary for any time indefinitely, to rest or dwell, to continue permanently or in the same state, to remain, to continue. It is the Lord's expectation and desire that the Christian find his meaning and direction for life in the vine, in Jesus Christ. And so he says, you're attached to the vine, now find your purpose in the vine. Abide in the vine. Why abide in the vine? Because Jesus said that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Now we think of that on the physical level and we say that, I understand that completely. We've had branches fall off some trees in our backyard, and what happens to them? They die. They may have been starting to produce buds if it was in the springtime, but if they've broken off or cut off and they're laying on the ground, they shrivel up and they die. They cannot produce unless they're attached to the life source. The nourishment necessary to live and produce fruit comes through the root system, up the trunk, into the branches. A branch that is well connected to the vine will bring forth much fruit. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Christian, if we would bring forth fruit in our lives, we must abide in Jesus Christ. Look with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Here's a common thought of one of the kinds of fruit that we ought to be bearing, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? You want these character qualities? You say, well, they would be great. I'd love to have those things evident in my life. Jesus said, you cannot have that fruit unless you abide in the vine. It won't come if you're walking in the flesh, because the works of the flesh in verses 19 to 21 are exactly opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says in verse 25 of Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying, let's abide in Christ, abide in the Spirit, abide in God, and then you'll have the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so on. Because that's the fruit that comes from Jesus Christ. That's the fruit that comes from God. You cannot have the fruit. You say, well, I'm working on it. I'm working on this and I'm working on that. Well, start by abiding in the vine. And those things will come a lot better in your life. If we would see the fruit of answered prayer, we must abide in Christ. And that's mentioned here in our text. If we would see the fruit of souls won to Jesus Christ, we must abide in Him. How will we bring others to Him if we are not satisfied in Him ourselves and abiding in Him ourselves? How will we bring others to Him? There's bountiful fruit to be had if we would simply abide in Him. It's amazing how often as Christians we think we can live the Christian life and be fruitful on our own. I'll do it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. And yes, we do need resolve. Daniel purposed in his heart. We talked about that last Sunday night, that we need to have that accountability to before God, to ourselves, and to make purpose. I understand that. But if we really want to do something for God, we need to learn to abide in Him, to fellowship with Him, to seek our strength from Him. We think by our own resolutions alone we'll be successful and victorious, but such is not the case. Because if it was by resolution alone, Peter would never have denied Jesus Christ. He said, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. That was a definite purpose. But shortly thereafter, he denied Jesus three times. Why? Because he was depending upon himself. I'm reminded of Samson, who it says back in the Old Testament, Samson was to be dedicated to God from birth. But Samson played loose with God. Samson got away from God. Samson didn't live like he was supposed to live as a Nazarite, dedicated to God. He didn't abide in God. Then he got himself away from God. And when he gave the secret of his strength, being in his hair, to Delilah, the Bible says they cut his hair, and he went out as he had before, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. You know what he said? He said, it doesn't matter. I'm strong. I don't need God. I don't need the presence of God. But what happened? He became weak, and as another man, And they took him and they bound him and they took out his eyes and he became a slave to the Philistines. Why? Because he said, I can do this myself. I don't need God. I can do this myself. Jesus had talked about the Holy Spirit, as we already looked at, and would do some more in the next couple chapters, but he would tell them more, but he was telling them the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit is where our strength lies. You see what Jesus says at the end of verse number 5? For without me, ye can do nothing. See, yes, I can. I can do all kinds of things. Oh, can you? Who gave you life? Who gave you breath? God did. See, I can do all kinds of things. I proved it over and over again. I pull myself by my own bootstraps and I can do anything I want. You know that the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8 that it's God who gives us power to get wealth. Peter was a fisherman. Talented fisherman, I'm sure. It was his life. It was his father's life. He learned it from a child, and after Jesus had raised from the dead, Peter said, I go a-fishing. I'm going to go back to my old trade. I'm going to go back, get my boat back, and launch out into the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to go catch some fish. It's something I'm familiar with. It's something I can do by myself. The other said, hey, Peter, if you're going, we're going to go with you. You know what happened? They fished all night. They didn't catch any fish. Nighttime was the time to catch fish. He knew that. He'd been raised in it. What happened in the morning? Jesus came and he said, children, have you here any meat? Did you catch anything? Nope. Cast your net on the other side. Jesus told them what happened. They did. What happened then? They caught a great multitude of fishes so that Peter's boat didn't have enough to haul them all in, and the other boats didn't have enough to haul it all in. Here Jesus is speaking about being fruitful, bearing fruit, of being full of life. We can't accomplish anything without Him, let alone anything eternal and lasting. We may be able to win an argument, but we can't truly win a soul without Jesus Christ. But as we abide in Him, He directs people to our lives. He gives us the words that we need to speak. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because we don't battle against things we can fight against. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul testifies to the fact that he found out that he was weak. But in his weakness, God's strength was made perfect. Branches that aren't abiding in the vine are useless. In the physical realm, Jesus says, men take them and they throw them in the fire and they're burned. End of the branches. Get some heat from them, cook with them, whatever, but they're gone. They're useless for what the purpose was of producing fruit. Who are those branches and what does Jesus mean? It's interesting, isn't it, that he said to them, ye, in verse 4 and verse 5, Verse 3, he says to them, ye are the branches, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and so on. It says, without me ye can do nothing. But in verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Then verse 7, he goes back to, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Jesus had been using the pronoun ye, and would go back to doing that. But here in referring to the branches that would be taken and burned, he says he doesn't refer to them as being the disciples. He says, if a man, a general term. The promise of Jesus Christ is that none of his own will perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Some have used this verse of scripture to say, see, if you don't continue living the Christian life, then you lose your salvation. But no, that goes against the promises of Jesus Christ. He said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. The promise is sure for believers in Jesus Christ that if they truly place their faith in Him, they will never need to worry about being lost. Now, there are false prophets and false professors who, of course, Judas was one of, because Jesus said it would be better for him that he had not been born. But as for the Christian, Jesus had already told them what the Father did. The Father purges them. He snips the little branches that are sucking out the strength. He purges them. He trims them so that they will produce more fruit. They are pruned. Looking at the churches in Revelation, non-producing churches would have their candlestick removed. It didn't mean that the people who went there would lose their salvation. The Father disciplines His children. His object is their good in Hebrews chapter 11. Jesus said here that they may produce more fruit. In 1 Corinthians 11, we find that some disobedient believers were ill and some had lost their life, but they didn't lose their salvation. They were trimmed. They were pruned, perhaps we would say, but they didn't lose their salvation. It's not our place to judge whether another person is being pruned, but rather to assure that we ourselves are abiding in the vine. And Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. That's that relationship we have with the Lord, that we depend upon Him. We know He is abiding in us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But are we consciously every day saying, Lord, I need you today. I'm trusting you today. I need you for my strength today. I need you to help me today. Are we living in Him, trusting Him, waiting upon Him? To abide and depend on Christ is a decision that we make daily. Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, every day I choose to give my life to Christ. Not that I'm saved again every day, but every day I say, Lord, I need you today. I depend upon you today. Lord, my life is yours today. Lord, I want you to direct my path. I want you to guide in my life. I want to know your presence, your strength, your comfort, your leading in everything that I do. Colossians 2:6 says we should walk in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. What is to walk? It's a daily step by step by step by step. Lord, today I need you. Lord, today I need you. Romans 8:12-14 speaks of being debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, but to live after the Spirit. To be led by Him. To begin each day yielded to the Lord and following His will and direction. Jesus said, if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done to us. Isn't that a great promise of answered prayer? As long as we are abiding in Him, Jesus can promise that whatsoever we ask, He will do. See, if we're abiding in Him, we'll be dependent on Him to hear and answer our prayer. We'll be looking to Him by faith, asking Him for our requests, not just trying to work it out ourselves. If we're abiding in Him, our prayers will be for the right things. We won't be asking for our lusts and desires, but we'll be asking it truly in Jesus' name, for His sake, for His glory, because it's Him that we're abiding in. If we're abiding in Him, we'll want His will to be done, not our own. We'll say as He did, Father, not my will, but Thine be done, because Thy will is far greater than mine. If we abide in Him, our life will be right, so our prayers will not be hindered by sin, because we are abiding in Him. We'll keep short accounts with Him. If we see power in our prayers, we must learn to abide in Him. So we need to be attached to the vine, we need to be abiding in the vine, and then we see we will be abounding as we do that. Jesus said in verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. He said in verse 5, He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. A wonderful promise to be able to bring forth not just a little bit, but a lot of fruit in our life as Christians. It's a great blessing to be able to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of souls won to Christ, the fruit of answered prayer, the fruit of a righteous life. All those things will come as we abide in Christ. We'll bear much fruit. And what does that do? It glorifies the Father. You look at a garden, a beautiful garden. whether it be a flower garden, whether it be an orchard, whether it be a fruit garden. And you look at that when it's producing what it's supposed to do, what do you say? You say, wow, that gardener knows what they're doing. You won't see that if you look at the plants that I plant and tend to. But if somebody knows what they're doing, you look at them and you say, wow, look at that garden. What a beautiful garden. Look at those flowers. Wow. Look at that tree. Look how much fruit is on that tree. Wow, I thought that when they trimmed that bank, they were going to lose all the fruit. But now look at the amount of fruit. That gardener knew what they were doing. And your praise will be to the farmer or to the person who's looked after that. You see, a field that's full of crops that have come forth well and not full of weeds and so on, you say, well, that farmer, they know what they're doing. And you will, in that sense, glorify the farmer by the evidence of the fruit. See, if a Christian is producing fruit in their life, you may say, wow, that they're a great Christian, but rather you probably look beyond that and say, wow, God's done a great thing in life. God's done some amazing things and changed their life. I refer back to Matthew 5:16 that we referred to earlier in the message where Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify you, pat you on the back? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Our lives ought to be a testimony to the husbandman, the Father. Because we're attached to the vine and we're abiding in Him, and the Father is trimming our lives and taking out those suckers that would drain us of our fruit production, and He knows exactly what to do. And people look at our life and say, wow, God has done a great work in their life. And Jesus ends with the statement, so shall ye be my disciples. The word disciple means a learner or student. We said it before, but it does well for us to remember that not every Christian is a disciple. So what do you mean? Isn't that one and the same? No, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a student of. Every Christian should be a disciple, but not every Christian is necessarily a disciple. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must abide in Him. We must seek to be learning from Him, letting His Word abide in us. A believer who is abiding in Christ will be growing and will begin to produce fruit and more fruit as time goes by. See, growth is a healthy thing, isn't it? Sometimes we say about our children, they're just growing too fast, but then we say, but what's the alternative? I'd rather them be growing and be healthy. Because growth shows health. You see a plant and you say there's some new shoots coming on that, that's a healthy plant because it's growing. A Christian should be growing. There's a connection between growth and glorifying God. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Remember, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Healthy, growing, fruit producing, glorifying to God, disciples of Jesus Christ. To be fruitful, you must be attached to the vine. You must be abiding in the vine, and then you will be abounding with fruit. It will be glorifying to God. Are you attached to Jesus Christ? Have you been cleansed? Has there been a time in your life where you called upon Him and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe, Jesus, what you've done for me. I accept gift of salvation. Please forgive me. Be mine. That's where it begins. That's where we get attached to the vine. Christian, are you abiding in the vine? You can't be fruitful on your own. You need to abide in Him. Are you abounding? Is God glorified by your life? Are you growing in Jesus Christ? Let's pray together.